ATV, powered by Daily Dodge. Right now, 37.
It is 12:31 in Beaver Dam. You are listening to Community Comment. Here's our host, Kevin Haugen.
Well, thank you very much, and good afternoon. Welcome into today's Community Comment. Again, I am your host, Kevin Haugen. It is my pleasure to welcome into our Daily Dodge TV studio this afternoon. Joining us from the city of Waupun and to talk about everything happening in the department there is the Waupun Fire Chief, BJ DeMar. Chief, thank you so much for joining us here on Community Comment today.
Yeah, great to be back again, Kevin.
Thank you very much. And then, if you have a question for the Chief during his appearance on Community Comment today, you can call the program at 885-4446, or you can text 887-9595. Again, the phone number to call in is 885-4446, or you can text 887-9595 during our Community Comment program today with Waupun Fire Chief BJ DeMa. And Chief, I think the last time we had the opportunity to sit down and chat was right before Thanksgiving. I think it was in November. So it's been a couple of months, had the holiday break, and I know we kind of talked a little bit about your personal, you know, have some time to get away, but I'm sure having those couple of days, obviously working in the fire service industry, there really isn't much time off. There, you're on quite a bit, but I'm sure it was nice to, you know, if you get a day or two here during that break to kind of recharge the batteries and spend time with family and enjoy a couple of days off. I'm sure that was kind of a good time to spend there with family during that couple of days.
Yeah, absolutely. And all you're right. It's, you know, the fire service along with many other jobs. You know, it's not your traditional 9-to-5 Monday through Friday gig. So, always a good time, you know, around the holidays, be able to spend a little time with family, reconnect a little bit and take a deep breath before you kick off the new year.
Yeah, as we're sitting here already a month into 2025, it's crazy how fast this is already gone. You blink, it's going to be 6 months, and next thing you know, we're already talking about 2026. But as we're just here a couple of weeks into 2025, and it's our first opportunity to talk in this new year with Waupun Fire Chief BJ DeMa, I like this opportunity to sort of look back to 2024 and spend a few moments talking about last year and some of the things that stood out to you, Chief, and highlights or challenges or things that you had to work through in over the course of 2024. So hand the mic over to you, Chief. What when you look back at 2024, what stands out to you?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing is, you know, for many agencies, call volumes continue to go up. You know, we've talked on this show in the past how the fire service, it's evolved into more than fires,
yeah,
right?
Yep.
You know, one of the questions I most commonly still get in the community is, well, how many fires have you been on? Well, you know, we've got our fire calls, but there are so many other things that we do outside of that. You know, rescues, car accidents, you know, the educational piece. We're kind of coming out of last week was what they call community risk reduction. Mm. And really, it's a more holistic approach to, you know, looking at your community as a whole and more broadly, how do we help with education? How do we help with enforcement? How do we do all these things to create a safer community? So when we talk about 2024, you know, it was another busy year. Call volume for our department was up over 11%. EMS volume was down just a tick. But, you know, I really tip my cap to the members of our team who, as that call volume goes up, it's a bigger ask of them. It's a bigger ask of employers who allow their employees to leave to respond to those calls. So it truly is. It's a community effort in terms of making a fire department work.
Yeah, and briefly before, I want to talk a moment just about the structure of the Waupun Fire Department and how important it is to have not only the volunteers who assist in respond to those calls, but at the places they work. You mentioned those businesses, and allowing their staff to go out and help is such a big component of this. But I want to focus real quick first just on the district itself. I mean, obviously, I believe, and correct me if I'm wrong, it's not just the city of Waupun that your agency responds to. There's some outlying, you know, municipalities that are part of that district that you guys respond to, and that adds to the amount of work that you guys do on a month-to-month basis.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, all told, you know, we cover about 105 square miles. You're right, in addition to the city of Waupun, it does include area, I guess, in the town of Chester, the town of Trenton, and then the town of Waupun to the north. So it is a big area. You know, we've got a lot of major highways that run through our area, and we continue to see a lot of traffic that moves through our area every day, which, you know, depending on the vehicle type, there's numerous different hazards that roll through the community.
Yeah, and now wanting to focus on your staff, the members there at the Waupun Fire Department, and yeah, give them some credit just for their service and their time, because it is not an easy thing to do. I mean, we had the Beaver Dam Fire Chief on a couple of weeks ago, and he talked about how they had a couple of people come in and thought that we're wanting to do this. This is something that we're excited to be a part of. And 1 or 2 weeks in, and you quickly realize just the time commitment involved and how much work there really is to do this job. And I'm sure, you know, you think this every single day, but being able to do what you do and being able to respond to the amount of calls that you guys are able to respond to is a credit to the members of the Waupun Fire Department and them willing to give up of their own time and their own lives to come out and respond to those calls.
Yeah, you're absolutely right, Kevin. I mean, at the end of the day, if it were not for those individuals' willingness to do that, our department would not be able to exist as it does today. You know, it's interesting you mentioned that. We had a Cub Scout group that came through the department last week for a tour. And talking to one of the individuals that was a leader, you know, we were talking, have you ever considered this? You know, there's some very similarities yeah. between scouts and the fire service. And as the conversation went on, you know, he said, well, you'd have to talk to my spouse. And but when we had that conversation, it truly, when you talk about there's the individual and the commitment that they make, but it truly is a family commitment because, you know, quite honestly, I always say for my particular situation, you know, I feel like I've left my wife as a single parent far too many times. And, you know, she quickly points out the fact that, you know what, we went in this together. It was a sacrifice I knew going in as well. But it truly is. It's a family commitment when it comes to volunteerism in the fire service.
Yeah, certainly. It requires both parties, the individual who's volunteering and their spouse at home and the family, and making sure everything still operates the way it should and have their backs and support them in any way possible. And mentioning, you know, the volunteer angle of this, is there a certain percentage then of calls throughout the year? I feel like we talked about this, but I can't remember. Is there a certain percentage of calls that a firefighter needs to respond to over the course of the year? Is it, you know, that they are able to, you know, obviously sometimes with work or life, they're unable to do every single call, but what's that percentage that they need to respond to during the course of the year?
Yeah, so for our department, we target 30% on call response and then 50% at our trainings. Mm-hmm. You know, again, our group does a tremendous job, especially when it comes to training. We far exceed that 50%. So, you know, again, just a testament to the commitment that they've made in knowing that, hey, our training nights, we understand the importance of that in terms of preparedness. And, you know, really trying to set us up that when we are needed, members are going to know what to do.
Yeah. Before we move on to discuss some more topics here on Community Combat, there's another note that you brought up that's really fascinating that I feel like a lot of times us in the community and the public don't always really register or think about a lot. And again, I bring up past interviews and past guests on the show. We just had the fire chief of the Juneau Fire Department come in a couple of weeks ago, Ed Weiss, and he talked about his 2024 recap as well. And, you know, you think, you know, you hear the word firefighter, you think fire department, you think that is what they're doing. You're out there battling fires, going out and responding to those types of calls. But, you know, he brought up a really interesting statistic that it seemed like it was, and don't quote me on this, but I want to say it's around this, but like it seemed like 80 to 90% of the calls that they were going out to over the course of 2024 were more accident-related calls, vehicle crashes, that type of thing. And it was anywhere from like 15 to maybe 20, 25 of the calls, the total amount of calls that they had were house fires or fires in general that they were responding to. And it just, I think, also points to how important it is for those in your industry, in the firefighting service. You know, they have to not only know how to approach a house fire and extinguish that in the safest way possible for themselves, but how to approach an accident scene as well in different scenarios. And that's why training is so important in that. But there are a lot of things that the people in your career service need to know and they need to be caught up on.
Yeah, you know, that is definitely one of the challenges. You know, for our particular area, I would say accidents, especially in our rural areas, probably about 50% of our call volume. So, but when you talk about, okay, all the vehicle technology that's coming out, whether it's electric vehicles, whether it's hybrids using, you know, other fuel sources, mm-hmm. You know, we've been able to lean back on a long history of what a normal, and I use normal loosely, but, you know, a combustion engine vehicle,
sure.
We know how to respond to those. When we start talking electric and high voltage lines through these vehicles, you know, there's just not enough exposure yet for us to be able to say, okay, we're experts and we feel confident. We go through the training every year to learn as much as we can, but you're right. You know, looking at vehicle technology, that's one small snippet of everything that a fire department responds to. And, you know, jack of all trades, master of none comes to mind, but that truly is what we face, in that there is so much to know. And how do you fit it all into an annual training cycle?
Yeah, and again, we're with Waupun Fire Chief B.J. DeMa here on Community Comment. The phone number to get into the show, 885-4446. You can text 887-9595 if you have a question for our guest here today on Community Comment, Waupun Fire Chief B.J. DeMa. And what you were talking about there just a couple moments ago is a great segue into kind of what we want to talk about next, and just all the different trainings that is required. For anyone who works in you know, a first responder field, you know, fire department, police department, EMR, or any sort of, you know, medical field or anything like that. And just a couple of weeks ago, this month, you had mentioned, and we didn't really go into the specifics, so I'm excited, looking forward, I should say, just to kind of hear what was gained and the insights that were learned from this particular training. But and it's very time relevant too, just with what happened a couple of weeks or months ago here in the state of Wisconsin. But your agency, I believe, along with the police department there in Waupun and some medical agencies as well, took part in an active shooter training. And maybe before diving into kind of what that was like and what you guys learned, sort of set the stage for us. Was this something that was on the books for quite a while? And is this something that is done annually, every couple of years? Or just what ultimately comes together for your people in your position to say, all right, hey, we need to sit down and go through a training like this to sort of make sure we're all caught up and all caught up to speed?
Yeah, so the active shooter incident management is the training that you're referencing. And I would say we, and when I say we, our police department and our fire department, we've had a great working relationship with our schools over the years. And, you know, you don't have to look too hard across America. And, you know, unfortunately, the terrible situation down at Abundant Life in Madison really, really struck home. But over the years, we have talked a lot with our school about, okay, if we were to have an incident, you know, what does that look like? Not only for the school, but for the first responders that are going to be coming into that type of a situation. Going back probably about a year or two, we had some individuals through Fond du Lac County that had an opportunity to attend some training. I believe it was down in Texas. And through that training, they came back home, and the question was, you know, we need to bring this training to the county, and how do we make that happen? So this ASIM, or Active Shooter Incident Management, is really the course that came out of that, and it truly focuses on how do we provide the same training to all first responder groups, EMS, fire, and police, so that if one of these events happen, we're not trying to figure it out at that event. So that's really what this training focused on is, you know, within that broader response, what does it look like for each group? What are you trying to focus on within each group to not only stop the threat, but also be able to treat triage patients, get them to that next level of care? It sounds terrible, but with the focus on stopping the dying. Unfortunately, in an active shooter incident, the majority of your patients end up bleeding to death. So the focus is how do we stop that and give victims the best chance of survival.
With, again, Waupun Fire Chief B.J. DeMa here on Community Comment. The phone number to call in, 885-4446. We do have a caller waiting on line one, so let's head to the phones and say welcome to Community Comment.
Yeah, I have a couple of questions.
Go ahead.
When I hear that there's a fire or a car accident, there's always like five or six different fire departments there. Why is that?
For accidents or for fires?
Either one.
Okay. For accidents, you know, if it's a mass casualty, which, you know, would involve a certain number of patients, sometime additional fire departments or different medical units need to be there just to transport all the patients. Beaver Dam, unfortunately, had one of those over the weekend here. Where it involved two vehicles, but I believe it was in the neighborhood of six to seven patients. So that would require additional resources to help with that. When we talk about fires, there's a lot of things that go into that. So, you know, depending on what your level of staffing may be during the day, sometimes it takes additional fire departments to respond to help with getting enough people to the scene. One of the big things when we talk about fires into rural areas is water shuttle. So we don't have the luxury of being able to use a hydrant at those calls. So we've got to shuttle water out to the response area. So that can take many different fire departments, and they're there again with their water trucks. To help get water to the scene and then go back to town, fill up, and come back again.
And my second question is, and if there's like a house fired and that there's three or four fire departments there, how does that homeowner get billed? Do they get a bill from each fire department?
No, I guess I can't speak for what other agencies do, but like in the city of Waupun and in the townships of Waupun, that's what's covered under the taxes. That's the service you're paying for. So unless there'd be something very specialized that was used, I'm not aware of many departments that send out bills in those cases.
So you go to a house fire, you don't bill nobody?
Not in the city of Waupun, no.
Oh, I thought that the person got billed.
Nope.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
All right, thank you for the phone call here today on Community Comments. Again, the phone number 885-4446 if you have a question for Waupun Fire Chief B.J. DeMa. And yeah, I think I'm pretty sure that's the same case here in the city of Beaver Dam. A lot of times, in most cities anyways, that's a part of the services that you pay on your yearly taxes that you owe. You know, same thing with garbage pickup, water, utilities, that sort of thing. That's all included in there. I don't know, for a lot of, you know, fire departments that serve districts or areas, they have a service contract with that municipality that they pay a fee to the department that services their area, and then the municipality, I'm sure, charges that on taxes onto their local community. So yeah, there's not a bill that gets sent out to a homeowner for the services provided by a fire department.
Correct. And I guess I would preface that with, you know, EMS is obviously different.
Correct.
Than a fire response. So I guess
Yeah, there's different, and you know, I know for like police and fire, that's different than, you know, EMS, hospital, ambulance. Those are separate entities of themselves. I know a lot of times the fire department and EMS are sort of together a lot of times, so it can be kind of confusing for some people. It's confusing for me, I'm not going to lie, but essentially, yeah, if you get an ambulance ride to the hospital, you're looking going through insurance, that type of thing. That's
correct.
Entirely separate.
Yep.
Again, with Waupun Fire Chief B.J. DeMa here on Community Comment this afternoon. Before the phone call, we were just talking about active shooter training that had took place here in the city of Waupun there between the fire department, police department, EMS as well. And you mentioned a great point. It's about preventing the dying. There are instances in these cases where, yeah, people are most likely going to be suffering a gunshot wound. And the biggest part, too, I see from these types of training opportunities is just the ability to set up a plan and a communication plan, really, between different departments and different agencies. And so when something – if, you know, heaven forbid a situation like this were to happen – everybody knows what to do. Everybody's on the same page. There isn't any sort of confusion. You know, that's why these kind of trainings are so important.
Yeah, for sure. You know, and you know, this training was a great opportunity to talk through that. We had the opportunity to do a few tabletop exercises. So, you know, from there, you look to take it to that next step. And how do we get some hands-on opportunities where, you know, we can work on, you know, whether it's what we call a rescue task force, which is a group of, you know, fire, police, EMS, going in, actually getting victims out and to, you know, an ambulance collection point where they would be transported to a hospital. So that would be the next step coming out of this training.
Again, with Waupun Fire Chief B.J. DeMa here on Community Comment. We just have a couple of minutes left, and I want to be make sure we spend a few moments talking about another very important topic that maybe doesn't necessarily seem like it would be that prevalent with, you know, colder winter months, but it is very important, and that is still the possibilities of wildfires. We haven't had a lot of moisture on the ground over the last couple of weeks, but what are some of the tips and things that we need to know to be, make sure that we aren't starting any wildfires here where we live?
Yeah, that I shared with you before we went on the air here that we don't typically see a lot in the way of brush fires or wildland fires in this area this time of year. But that is something that a lot of departments have been seeing. We actually we refilled, if you will, our water tank on one of our UTVs as a result. Usually those are empty this time of year. But just from a preparedness standpoint, we were seeing too many departments that were close by responding. So, you know, the biggest thing, it doesn't matter the time of year. Anytime you're burning outside, obviously make sure that you've got a water source nearby so that if something were to get out of control, you can quickly get on top of it. You know, probably the biggest thing is just making sure you're not starting a fire, one, on a windy day, but two, if you do, make sure that you're keeping an eye on it and that you don't just start it, walk away, and, you know, when you catch it, we're now, you know, significantly out of control.
And maybe you can help answer this. In the city of Waupun, if there is somebody who has some brush that they want to burn, is this something that they need a permit for or call City Hall and say, hey, on this day I'm looking at burning? So, again, people don't call your department and respond unnecessarily. But just what are the protocols people have to follow if they're looking at publicly burning brush or anything in their yard?
Yeah, that's a great question. Within the city, we do have an ordinance that does restrict any burning outside of, you know, what we would call your recreational, so your, you know, your fire pit in the backyard. There are size restrictions on that under 16 square feet, which is really a fairly decent sized fire. Yeah. But we do require it to be contained in some type of a ring, you know, that they're only using what we would call clean wood, so it can't be anything that was painted or treated in any shape. From a brush standpoint, no, there is no brush, no leaves, anything of that nature that can be burned within the city. We do have a collection point out by our DPW garage that at any point during the week, folks are able to bring those materials out there, and DPW ends up putting together compost piles then throughout the year.
I know another great resource, something that we talked briefly about before coming on air today too, is the DNR has a webpage that I believe if you just type in DNR fire danger or fire levels, or I can't exactly recall what's the best way to Google it, but fire danger is probably one of the best ways to do it, is DNR fire danger. They have a map of the entire state of Wisconsin and color-coded of where's low danger, high moderate danger, high. It's a great resource for people to go. It's like, hey, what is the current forecast and look like for potentially if I wanted to burn something? And that's a great place for people to go to get more information on that.
Yep, absolutely. And then in addition to that, if it is a low fire danger day and you're going to do that, we always like to remind folks, please call your dispatch, Dodge or Fond du Lac County, whatever county you live in. Call those non-emergency numbers and just let them know. They'll take your information, and that really gets to the point of if a passerby calls it in, they can look at their list and say, nope, we've got a controlled burn in that area today. We don't have to page the fire department out.
Yeah, important things to remember here from our guest here on Community Comment today, Waupun Fire Chief B.J. DeMaul. We are just about out of time here on our program this afternoon. I want to one more time thank our guest here for joining us on the program this afternoon, Waupun Fire Chief B.J. DeMaul. Chief, thank you again so much for coming in on Community Comment today.
Thank you, Kevin.
And that will do it for today's Community Comment.
If you recently lost health coverage due to a life change, healthcare.gov is here for you. Like it was there for Marcus when he lost his job. And Keisha when she turned 26.
Happy birthday!
And lost her parents' insurance. And Elena when she went off Medicaid. There are many other ways to qualify. Visit healthcare.gov today to see if you're eligible to enroll. Limited time to enroll. Paid for by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Remember, we're a team that plays together. Listen, the winning will take care of itself. We just have to get everyone involved.
In interscholastic sports, we